Chapter 83. Tai. Tai heard the buzz of a bowstring behind him, and felt the wind of an arrow fly past his ear. He knew its intended target, and, like their father, Breen never missed. Mangora didn't flinch. She swiped her hand across her face, and the shaft veered past her and into one of the horsemen just behind. The masked man glanced down at the fletching end of the shaft protruding from his neck. A gurgling cough escaped his mouth before he dropped from his horse. Even from across the yard, Tai could see fury in the witch's eyes. She raised her hand, and a ball of flame appeared. The blood drained from Tai's face. Mangora had the ability to call fire like he did, and she was no doubt more experienced.
"You had your chance," she stated, with a slight hint of mockery, before she released the deadly blaze in the direction of their front line. The lancers dove out of the way, some leaping in front of Lord Baal, as the flames burst across the ground between them. Tai tried summoning his own fire, but nothing happened. He was so flustered he couldn't even think straight. He watched as Mangora raised her hand again. In a state of panic, he lashed out with the one bit of magic he knew he could rely on and pushed a single thought into every animal within 100 paces. Jump! His quick thinking saved them, as Mangora's horse, along with all the Northmen's, leaped into the air. Half the men were still trying to get out of their saddles to make ready for the charge. Riders were thrown all over the ground. Those that managed to retain their reins fought to keep their mounts from trampling those underneath. Run! The horses immediately obeyed his voice and stampeded toward the road, dragging a few of their riders along with them.
Nice trick, Brian said, as he rushed past with an armful of weapons.
He tossed Tai his bow and sword on the way by. His father, taking advantage of Tai's diversion, managed to get his belt knife on, and bow knocked. Tai followed his example and stuck his sword tip down in the ground beside him so he could use his bow. Tai's father pulled back on the large recurve. There were very few men who could manage the bow's draw.
I can't afford company. Outnumber us 2, maybe 3 to 1.
Tai's father released, and the impact of his shaft skewered 2 of the large Talosians at once. The man in front died instantly. The second fumbled around with the weight of the other attached to him.
Aye, Baal said, as he rocked back and forth on the balls of his feet. Then that should make it just about even, wouldn't you say?
He tightened his double-handed grip as the savages bellowed their war cry and charged. Tai admired the man's attitude. The Northmen rushed across the yard like a wave of death. Tai's brother and father managed to get off another volley before they tossed back their bows in exchange for their brace of knives. Tai's entire body shook with fright as he watched the savages come. Staying well behind everyone else, he released one more arrow. He hit his mark in the shoulder, but the man didn't even notice as he raised his cleaver and continued running. Tai tossed his bow and arrows behind him just as the Talosians hit their line. Another ball of fire flew from the witch's fingertips and struck one of the Sidaran guards who had taken up a position out front. Tai nearly lost his resolve as the flesh on the front of the guard's body cooked off his bones in mere moments. Tai doubled over and heaved what little supper he had ingested as the smell of roasted flesh hit him in the face. It smelled like sweet pork. Tai tried to bring his own fire up again, but nothing happened. He couldn't understand it. Why wasn't it working? Feeling completely helpless, he watched as his protectors fought to hold back the tide. He had never witnessed a true battle before, only heard heroic tales from times long past. In them, good always prevailed and evil was inevitably vanquished. He could see now that in reality, life was rarely a fairy story. A spray of warm liquid struck him across his chest and face. Eyes wide, he watched with sickening disgust as one of the guards in front of him was struck by Baldur's axe.
The huge Northman had to struggle to pull his blade free, as it was stuck inside the man's torso. The sharp iron flavor in Ty's mouth brought him back from his momentary stupor as the realization of what he was tasting dawned on him. Doubling over once again, he dry-heaved and tried to spit and wipe his tongue with the clean side of his sleeve. "Ty, look out!" he could hear his brother off to his right. With all the heaving and scrubbing of his tongue, he had failed to notice one of the savages making a break inside the guard's outer perimeter. Ty swung his blade to the side to keep his attacker from taking off his leg. He wondered if the message about not killing him had registered with the rest of the face-painted savages. Their swords collided. The jolt of the impact ran all the way up his arm. The Northman swung high this time, forcing Ty to counter with an overhead block, but just as soon as his sword arm went up, the man kicked him in the chest. Ty flew backwards, the air expelling from his lungs. He landed on top of his mother's winter daisies and rolled over. He tried to breathe, but the air wasn't returning. Lifting his arm to ready another block, Ty noticed his sword was no longer in his hand. He spun around. It was lying against the 3-foot stone foundation bordering their house. Ty scooted backwards as fast as he could. The Northman came at him again. Half the man's face was covered in bleached bone, the other half in white paint. It was a terrifying sight. There was no way to reach his weapon before the Northman had him. The savage made it to within 3 paces when his brother, with a long dagger in one hand and a sickle in the other, released a ferocious roar and charged. With the look in Breen's eyes, Ty actually felt sorry for the savage. The Talosian tried to brace himself. He started to raise his blade, but only made it about halfway before the bulk of Breen's body slammed into him. His brother's elbow made contact center chest. Ty could hear bones snapping as the angry Northman flew through the air. His mask was torn from his face, revealing a look of utter shock and pain. When something as big as Breen hit you, you didn't get back up. "Get your sword!" Ty didn't need to be told twice. By the time he had retrieved his weapon and turned back around, his brother was already back on the front line. Another ball of fire shot through the air, killing one of the Sidaran lancers on the left, along with 2 of the Northmen. Ty had to find a way to keep her from using her magic on their men. It was bad enough having to face 2-1 odds against these barbarians, but add a flame-throwing witch into the mix, and he didn't see how they could possibly survive. His fire, for some reason, had abandoned him, but he wondered if he could manage to pull off Mangora's move with her windshield, or whatever it was that she had done to stop Breen's arrow. Quickly, Ty focused on the air around him. He swiped his hand to the side, like he had seen her do, and watched to see if anything would happen. Nothing. He aimed his palm toward the ground and tried imagining a puff of wind striking the loose dirt. Nothing. Pulling back, he searched for the warming sensation within him that always seemed to precede his abilities. This time, he decided to reach out and grab the wind as though it was a tangible substance. He could feel his magic rise as his fingers brushed through the air. He almost leaped with excitement when the hair on his head moved. It was working! Ty attempted to test it, but lost his concentration when movement out of the corner of his eye brought him about. He barely had time to turn his head when he caught a fist to the side of his face that sent him spinning. This time, he managed to keep his sword in his hand when he hit the ground. Why do I keep letting this happen? He was half expecting, or at least hoping, for another daring rescue from his brother, but none came. In the heat of desperation, Ty kicked out with his right leg and managed to connect with the man's shin and throw him off balance long enough for Ty to get his sword in position. He flipped over and pushed himself to his knees to make ready for the Talosian's counter, but was suddenly knocked to the side as someone rushed past and seized the defensive for him. Twisting his head around, Ty was taken aback at the sight of red hair flinging back and forth,
as Liesa went toe-to-toe with the huge savage. He couldn't believe it. Had he hit his head on the way down? Was he dreaming? Not only was she managing to block the man's advances, but she was actually leading him around like a first-year cadet who didn't know one end of his weapon from the other. Tai had never seen anything like it before. It was like watching a dance. She dodged and spun, deflected and sidestepped, her long hair whipping back and forth with each new parry and spin. The Northman was growing enraged at not being able to land a single strike. He actually growled at her. Hopping to the side, she deflected the man's thrust once again, and, spinning around, decapitated him with one swift cut. The head hit the dirt and rolled in Tai's direction. He just sat there, still in shock at seeing Little Miss Prim and Proper suddenly transformed into a crazy assassin swordmaster. "What are you gawking at, you idiot?" she hollered, as she grabbed him by the front of his tunic and yanked him to his feet. The sleeve of her arm had been cut and was hanging open to the elbow. Tai noticed the scarring on her forearm, and suddenly things came into focus. Now he understood why she always wore such reserved fashions, why she kept herself completely covered, even during the warm summer months, when most girls did everything they could to be as revealing as possible.
Where did you learn? Who are you?
I'm the person who just saved your scrawny backside. Now pick up that sword and get ready to fight.
There was no hesitation. Tai grabbed his fallen blade and stood at her side.
By the way, she said over her shoulder, you fight like a girl.
Tai grimaced. Twice now he'd been saved by someone else, and this time it was Liesa. He didn't think it could get more humiliating than that. He still wasn't sure how she had pulled it off. It was like she was a whole different person. He kind of liked it. Three more men broke through the lines, each with a mask covering the whole of their face. Liesa was the first to attack. Tai waited for the other to come to him. Lifting his sword, he successfully blocked the first strike. The weight of the impact nearly tore the sword from his hands, and he stumbled backwards a step or two toward the front of the cottage. This was nothing like the wooden sword play he and his brother used to engage in when they were younger. His hands and arms throbbed with each successful block. Instead of a sword, his attacker swung a large club with pieces of sharp metal attached to the end.
Tai, hang on!
Liesa was busy holding back the other two. He knew she'd never be able to reach him in time. Tai ducked the first swing, then dove to the ground and rolled to escape the second. He was back on his feet before the Northman was able to bring his club back around for a third. Lashing out at the first thing that came within reach, Tai plunged his sword through the savage's upper thigh. The tip of the Telosian's club came down and separated Tai from his blade, leaving a deep, bloody gash across his forearm. He bit down at the pain. With the sword still sticking out of both sides of his leg, the masked man used his club to sweep Tai's legs out from under him before he had a chance to leap out of the way. The savage placed his foot on Tai's chest as he stood there, looking down at him.
Mangora says we need to keep you alive.
He pointed the tip of his club at the top of Tai's head.
But I figure you could live without that.
The Northman's speech might have been broken with a strong, unnatural dialect, but Tai had no problem understanding his meaning as the big man slid an ugly-looking knife out from his fur-lined boot and held it up for Tai to see. The handle was constructed from what looked like a leg bone, or maybe part of an arm. With a smile, the ugly savage pointed at the top of Tai's head with the curved blade.
Pretty hair.
Tai didn't have time to think. His life might have been complicated, but it was the only one he had. Throwing away all restraint, he dove within himself
and gathered the heat of his magic. He could feel it rising.
The Northman grabbed a handful of Tai's light blonde strands to steady his grip as he lowered the knife to make the first incision.
Somewhere in the distance, Tai could hear the others screaming his name. But he put them all aside as he drew the wind to him.
He let his magic take control.
He turned himself over to it. With an upward thrust of his hands, he hit the savage with everything he had.
The look of astonishment on the man's face as he flew into the air, over the top of the other fighters, and into the forest beyond was quite satisfying. Tai lifted his hands to take a look.
That was amazing!
To his right, Lyessa stabbed her final attacker in the foot, forcing him to lose balance before finishing him with a swift thrust through his chest. She made her way over to where Tai was just getting back to his feet. He noticed she had some bruising around her left eye and a small cut over her brow from where the ugly Northman must have gotten in a solid punch. She looked in the general direction of where Tai had sent his attacker and huffed.
Show off!
An unnerving scream brought them both around as another one of Mangora's throws missed its intended target and struck an unsuspecting Talosian in the back. The red-hot flame burned through the bottom half of the man's leather clothing, skin, flesh, and bone. The top half of his body flopped to the ground. Continuing to scream in pain, the savage dragged what remained of his lower torso in the only direction his two arms would take him. Forward. Tai watched as his father acted on the only humane choice left to him by thrusting his sword through the man's back. Where was the rest of the Easthaven Wielder Council when you needed them? Tai wondered. With what Mangora had rained down on them so far, she must have had something terrible in store for them back in town. He hoped they were faring better than he was at the moment.